First, I am so happy that there was prayer and fasting yesterday. We were really hoping to be in time, but since we came back from Europe, we haven't really had time to rest. We came on which day?
Thursday.
Yeah, we came on Thursday, and hey, it's been a hype of activities. The following day, we were already up and down running, and it was a very long flight. We started off on Wednesday in the morning, 6 o'clock from home. We arrived the following day around 15 hours. Okay, then Thursday we were up and running. We came on Thursday, sorry. Then Friday we were up and running. Then Saturday we thought it would be a blessing coming here.
Amen.
Yeah, because there's a lot of work to be done here. And it was a struggle to find a house which we could rent. But finally, the house is there.
Amen.
Yeah. And yesterday when I arrived at the house, I was happy to see the environment. But then my attention went to... There are these vegetables which were planted, but they're looking very dry. Okay? And so, after a moment, Brother Nzima and Brother Kashala, they went in the car. I think they were feeling cold. But I thought of playing around with Terry. I told him, let's, you know, do this little game. And he brightened up. I noticed, okay, he was lacking company, so I wanted to do something interesting with him. So as we were doing that, we were just kicking a ball around, passing it on to each other. But then I noticed this, there's a papaya tree there. Okay, we call it popo. I believe in Kapiri also you call it that. Very tall tree, and I noticed it had quite a number of fruits at the end, at the tip there. Then there's one which looked ripe. And then a thought went through my mind. I thought, well, this place looks very dry. I was looking at the type of soil. You know, in Kapiri, much of the soil is sandy. Yeah. And I thought, so later on I asked the sisters, I said, if you plant things here, can they grow if you plant vegetables? You remember that, sisters? Yeah, I asked, can things grow well, looking at the type of soil which is here? So one sister said, yeah, it can grow if they get watered. Remember that, Sister Nzima? I think Sister Nzima answered that, says it's just water, you know, which they need. So, well, the day passed, and I happened to forget about it. Then we were three families in that house yesterday. Well, Brother, Sister Kashala. And that is why we needed a big house with many rooms, so that in case a number of believers from Lusaka wants to visit, we don't have a problem. Then there was Brother Nzima and Sister Nzima, of course, and myself and Sister Piri and Terry. And later, after all the activities in the night, we started reflecting on some dreams and visions which we've had. And we're trying to seek out, you know, the will of God in prayer, sharing thoughts, sharing reflections. And we were praying, meditating. We went on through the night. I think we were praying right around 01, okay? Now, as we were talking, in trying to think, what is the will of God? Now, the will of God is very important, because unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor, they labor in vain.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
So that is profoundly important to me. And so I was trying to share thoughts and probing my brethren to search out what is the Lord speaking. Okay? And so, as we were talking, as one brother was talking, a dream flashed in my mind. I had this dream in... Which year was that?
2021.
2021. That's when I had this dream. As we were talking, that dream just flashed in my mind, and I realized that the day I arrived to see this house, the dream really had its fulfillment. Now, let me read the dream to you. I recorded it. This was in 2021. So I had to tell my brothers and sisters that, hey, hold on, let me read a dream which I had in 2021. So let me read the dream to you. So this was on 18th April 2021, and I wrote the title of the dream, They Need Much Water. Okay? Now, this was the dream. Now, how many years ago is this? This was in 2021. That makes sense. So that was 3 years ago. I was in a yard under my care. Now, that's the first thing which is striking to me, that I was in a yard, and this yard was put in my care. I was in a yard under my care. There were papaya trees, tall and strong. I was happy. Hey, just like I was happy when I saw the house yesterday. You know, I said, this house is well located. Just from the tarmac, we move in here. If we want to bring other preachers, maybe we want to have a revival meeting, we want Brother Verem maybe to come and all that. It's a house which can hold believers. So I was very excited. It's in a fence and all that. So the dream says, I was happy. Then this is what I said in the dream. Oh, they have grown within such a short time, I exclaimed. When I looked at the top end of one tree, I thought I had seen a papaya fruit. I was about to be happy, but I realized that it was a cluster of leaves. Now, this is in the dream, and this is very striking.
Amen.
Very striking, because you come to the yard, the fruits are right on top of the tree there. So I was excited, you know. I realized, so when I was happy, my happiness started going down, because when I looked closer, it wasn't fruits I was seeing. It was just a cluster of leaves. I looked at the other trees, and I noticed the new upcoming leaves. So when I looked at the leaves, I looked closer, there were new leaves which were growing from the tree. But I noticed the leaves were struggling to grow. The leaves were struggling to grow because of lack of water. I looked at the soil, and it was from being watered, but there was much dryness in the soil. Now, those sisters who were there yesterday, you noticed that when you look at that garden, the time I arrived, it was partially watered, and that is what made me ask a question to the sisters. I said, can vegetables grow very well in this type of soil? Now, at that time, I didn't remember the dream. I was just asking. It was a random conversation. That's the time when Sister Nzima answered to say, yes, they can grow. They just need water. Hey, the way God fulfills things, you don't plan.
Amen.
A person will speak the words without reasoning. I mean, she didn't know about the dream. This is the time I'm sharing the dream. You know, and she said, they just need much water. They can grow, but they need much water. I said, really, with this type of soil, it says they just need much water. So now, I looked at the soil, and it was from being watered. Exactly the way I found it yesterday. The water was partially, you know, there was some water, but I was thinking, can this do any good? And that's why I asked that question. I looked at the soil, and it was from being watered. Now, you know the way the water was? It's put like Muntwenze Tirira. As though like someone just threw the water. Maybe, I don't know, maybe someone was cleaning the plates. That's the way it looked. Not really like someone is taking care of the garden. Okay? There was, from being watered, but there was much dryness in the soil than moisture. There was much dryness in the soil than moisture. I paused and looked. So when I looked at that, I paused and looked in the dream. And I said to myself, they need much water.
Amen.
So I thank the Lord for this experience. So as the brothers were talking yesterday, I said, hey, wait a minute. There's a dream I had in 2021. And then I read the dream to all of them. Now, when you look at this dream, the interpretation was very easy. It came right in that moment. You know, the work here in Kapiri has been struggling. Trees are there. It really looks like, oh, they are believers. And please, there are other message fellowships. I'm talking about this fellowship. Okay? I'm not talking about other believers. I believe God calls us and He gives us works. So every person will answer to the work God has given him. So when I say in Kapiri, I'm not talking about fellowships in Kapiri. I'm talking about you group who are listening to me. So when I looked at that, I told the brethren, I said, in line with the dream which is fulfilled, it means from afar, when you stand afar, you know, when you stand afar, you can see a group. A group can be singing songs. They can be clapping hands. And people who stand afar, they'll say, there's a church there. I hope you don't hate me after speaking this. Because I think the word of God is not just about rejoicing and getting excited. It's about hearing the mind of God. What is God speaking to us?
Amen.
That is what will help us. Okay? And so, when you look afar, a group can be singing, a group can be rejoicing, and you say, oh, there is a church there. There is a fellowship there. Like I saw in the dream. But when I looked closer, there was no fruit. It was just a pile of leaves. Then in the dream I said, there's no water here. And you know what that means? God needs to help us. The trees are there, but water has been lacking. What is water? It's the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see that? Because when the Holy Spirit comes and fills people, the work becomes much easier. When the Spirit of God is not there, when the Word is not there, now, you see, when I say the Word is not there, it does not mean a preacher is not preaching. A preacher can preach. But it's one thing to preach from the Scriptures and just speak things because you read about them. It's another thing when God sends an anointing and the Word is spoken, it will cut and penetrate in the hearts of the people. And there will be fruit. What is fruit? There has to be changed lives. There has to be righteousness. There has to be holiness. When you walk out of this place, you need to feel the Lord has ministered to my heart and your life has to bear forth fruit.
Amen.
But no matter how good a tree is, if water is not there, even if it produces what looks like a fruit, when you eat that fruit, there will be dryness in that fruit. And when we shared this, we said, you know what, brothers? What we're doing here, it looks like we are starting everything afresh from the ground.
Amen.
That's what I am convicted in my heart. Because this is the time I'm getting very close with you. And from what I see in the confirmation of these experiences, we need much water.
Amen.
Last night we prayed. We said, Lord, send your water. Because that is what we need.
Amen.
That is what we need. And when God sends the water, I believe it's for a purpose why we are gathered. It, you know, when God reveals something, it means He cares for you.
Amen.
It means He has a purpose. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we'll come to visions. When we were in Norway, it was a very wonderful meeting. The Spirit of God moved. Prophecies, ministration of the Word of God. Brother Tim McKay was ministering. I was ministering. We were the two preachers ministering along Brother Stroman, our hosting pastor. And Brother, is it Philip? I hope I haven't mistaken his name. He also ministered. And those who came from outside the country, it was the two of us with Brother McKay. And we took up much of the services anyway. Now, the thing is, Brother Stroman has a gift of prophecy. And it was so wonderful to see the manifestations of these gifts, just like many others in the assembly also, they let the Holy Spirit freely move. So it was a wonderful time. Now, a long time ago when I make a trip, I used to have time to give reports, to type. I no longer have that luxury of time. So certain things, just listen to the sermons and try to follow. And where God gives us the grace, we'll have time to mention some of the things. So much happened, but I want to narrow it down to two things, two experiences we had when we were there. And my wife will share the experience she had, the vision she saw while she was in the service. I'll also ask Sister Kashala to tell us the two visions she had, how she experienced them whilst in Lusaka. Was that 2 weeks ago? 1 week ago. Okay. So these things are important for the body of Christ.
Amen.
All right? And when we were in Norway, there is a prophecy. One person spoke in tongues, and Brother Stroman gave the interpretation. I can't remember whether it was Brother Stroman or a brother in the congregation, but much of the interpretations were given by Brother Stroman. But this was the interpretation. The prophecy said, thus saith the Lord, you know, he is coming soon, he is coming soon. That was a key message, you know, in that prophecy. You know, and the presence of God was so wonderful. It was amazing. And I don't know whether it was during prayer. Sister Nora will speak it. When exactly it happened, I don't know whether it was during preaching or it was during prayer. Mm. But it was just a very short vision. And I want you to hear it carefully, because the message I'm sharing, I'm going to minister on some of those things.
I greet you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So while we were in Norway, I think my service here number on a Sunday. I think about Monday, while we were in the service, just normal worshiping, Mwimba. Then I saw a, you call it a lampstand, a candlestick, where that thing which has 7 candlesticks. But there were no candles, and it was like it was off. It appeared right in front of me. Then it started going until it disappeared. Yes, then I think after a few days, again while we were in the presence of God, okay, there was a lot of manifestation of gifts, tongues. Then I felt the Holy Spirit, I was touched, and yeah.
Right.
Okay, so it was a very short vision. So this happened whilst we were in the service. She saw a lampstand. Now, when she says a candlestick, not the usual candlestick we usually have, you know, the Jewish candlestick, the one they used. It has 7 pipes and this. I believe you know this. You know about church edges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, this candlestick, it has oil in this, and then it needs to have light here. You know? In the tabernacle, there used to be a lampstand. It always needed to have light. But in her experience, the thing she noticed was there was a lampstand, but there was no light on it. Okay? And after she had that experience, the following day, Brother Stroman ministered on a topic. You can watch it. We've posted all these sermons online. And please, I urge you to listen to that sermon he preached. It was talking about the lampstand and the two, let me get the title right. The candlestick and the two olive trees. Okay, that was the message he ministered on. And I found the thought to be very wonderful, which was brought out. Many times we just speak of the lampstand, thinking of it in terms of church edges and all that. But when you read the book of Revelation, it speaks about the 7 spirits of God, the lamps, the 7 spirits of God. That does not mean there are 7 Holy Spirits. No, but it speaks about the attributes, the 7-fold attributes about the nature of God. And so he focused on talking about the nature of God in terms of as revealed through the names he has in the scriptures. He's Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, the way God has manifested himself in different times. And when Brother Stroman was preaching on that, when we discussed our vision on the table one night, well, we didn't really know what to make out of it. We said, okay, that was quite something. But then after he ministered that, this thought flashed in my mind that we're living in a time where churches. And remember, a church is a lampstand, right? But the purpose of a lampstand is not a lampstand itself. It is to hold the lamp, the light, so that there is light in a dark place. Correct? Do you buy a lampstand so that it's a decoration in your house? No. It serves the purpose to hold light. What's the purpose of light? For you to be able to see. For you to be able to see, oh, there's that thing in that corner. Oh, I am supposed to step here. Now, a church is supposed to be a carrier of light. What's the light? It's the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, the condition we have today is churches, which is good. It's a lampstand. But churches without light. You see what I mean? Yes, there is a name. We are a church. But when you look at it, you find that there is no light of the word of God. Light of the word of God does not mean we speak exactly what Brother Branham said, or we believe the right thing. Hey, it's one thing to know Brother Branham. It's one thing to repeat exactly what he taught. It's quite another to live a life of what you are speaking. So, people can speak the spoken words caught from the Bible, but yet having a life which has no light. Amen. It does not manifest what you preach, what you profess, what you hold in your heart. It means you are a candlestick without light. Amen. Can you see that? I'll say, oh, I'm a believer, but yet I'm living a life that actually brings shame to the name of the Lord. Amen. A lampstand without light. And I believe that vision has something to do with the body of Christ. Remember, that was something to the body of Christ, to all of us, to you as an individual, to the body of Christ at large. You need to examine yourself. What kind of a lampstand are you as an individual? What kind of life manifests out of you? Because when we are seated like this, it all looks good, nice. We've put on all decent clothing and all that. But everything is vain and vanity. If after we walk out of this door, there is filth in our lives, there is unbelief. Because one can say, me, I don't sin, I don't drink. Hey, it doesn't end there. God's calling upon our lives is not just for us to be good moral beings, who behave right, who knows how to talk nicely to people, or I don't drink, I don't insult. You can be so good like that and still live without God in your life. Because our perfection is not just fulfilling a list of do's and don'ts. It's about being open to the Holy Spirit and being able to live a life that manifests the mind of God. Being in a place where God desires you to be. If you think living a moral life of dressing right, being ethical, does it, I can tell you, most Muslims will make it to heaven than Christians because they score very high in those things. Correct? If you think, oh, we pray and fast. Hey, those people can pray and fast. They're Pentecostals who pray and fast more than believers. Perfection is not fulfilling or having the knowledge of a list of doctrines. It's the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. Amen. And fulfilling His mind. So when you look at that, it's very important. It's very crucial. Another thought of it, I'm speaking this in the context of us who are gathered here. But when we were in Norway, and when Brother Stroman ministered on that, and when I thought about the experience she had, the thought which came in my mind was, if there's no light on the lampstand, to me it speaks of an end of an age. For me, it speaks Laodicea. Amen. It is plunging in total darkness. Yes. Look at what happened to Donald Trump yesterday. He survived an assassination attempt. Things, there seems to be a boiling pot which is about to tip in the international politics. Well, I'm not here to scare anyone, because if you're a believer, you don't get scared at things. The times when things happen internationally, people seem to be, oh, scared, you know, let us hold a conference meeting, we talk about end time prophecy. Hey, you better have talked about it yesterday. We don't change our topics on the pulpit because we've seen something in the news. A true believer simply continues living the way he lives because he has no panic. Whether I see something scary, why should it scare me? I am ready. I'm supposed to be ready anytime the Lord will call my name. So now, when that happened, and you listened to the message Brother Stroman preached, well, when I thought and I was reflecting on it, and I meditated on the prophecy which came during the one meeting, the prophet said, I am coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. We don't know how soon is, but soon to me is to be ready any moment, including right now. That's how soon it is to me. And now when I think about these things, there's another experience my wife had. Time won't allow us to go into that. But I want Sister Kashara to tell us the... I think it was your first time to have a vision experience. Yeah, it was the first time she had it, and she's been getting worried of herself and concerned, you know, what is happening to her, because she was carrying a bucket in the house. As she was carrying a bucket, then she went into this strange experience. So, Sister Kashala, can you tell us clearly and briefly? She had it twice. So I want you to hear. Now, these experiences, these people talk, are very authentic, because these are not fanatics. Like Sister Kashala, I think it's the first time I'm hearing her talking of such an experience, and that is why it scared her. Because I'm emphasizing this because we're living in a time where there's a lot of fake experiences. And I don't like that. If you haven't had an experience, you haven't had it. If you've had an experience, share it. When you share it, it is for the benefit of the body of Christ. So when I hear someone has had a genuine experience, it's something you need to listen, it's something you need to hear. Okay.
Part of Friday, not here, Makuma, so she lasted.
So as she's speaking, I want you to be interpreting.
So last Friday, the other Friday, not this one. Brother Mansa came to visit us at our house.
So every Friday, we have
home sale meetings every Friday, and this one was at his house.
So Mauchel Constantia prepared in Alpana 15. Some
I wanted to prepare in advance because 15 hours is the time that we start the meetings.
So after I saw it, I searched the thing to one and some being there. So that's one pericol lifty. If you want more to watch
our home sales. When he came, I had to hurry up so that we could be at his place in advance because he has a car. So I went to the kitchen, I got a bucket. I got water that I wanted to bath. I entered through the bedroom door. Before I entered the bathroom, I was having a bucket in my hands. I just found myself in a different place, not the bed, not the bathroom where I was.
So often I sang up here.
When I found myself there, I just found people doing different activities.
So often
when I reached that place, I said, well, what's this place where I found myself? So there's a voice that spoke to me.
It
says, the world has come to an end. So I said, you mean just like that the world has ended? He says, yes, it has come to an end. Now, surprisingly, my feeling was I couldn't even care or worry about my child, or even to worry or care about my husband. I just felt like I was the only one. I was just on my own.
So, when
I wanted to know the other things to do, that's how I left the experience. So I then found myself with the bucket again in my hands. I went into the bathroom and back. So I was asking myself, what what was going on with me?
So,
I just forgot about it. I said, let me rush because people are waiting for me to go for the meetings.
I
went for the fellowship and came back.
Saturday, Sunday.
Then Saturday passed on Sunday.
Monday, Tuesday.
Then Monday, then up to Tuesday, coming to Tuesday. I was moving outside my yard. Then the same thing came again.
So after I was
when that experience came, I thought there's something happening. I said, let me tell somebody else so that I don't keep it in my heart. So that's when my husband came from work, I told him about it. That's how it was. Amen.
Hey, those are not experience to clap for.
Impossible.
You are used with interpreting. The experience is to check yourself.
Amen.
Yeah, the experience is to check yourself. Last night, I narrated to the brethren two experiences I had. Rather, one experience I had, it concerned the fulfillment of a dream, but then I want to share this part. When we were in the service, after preaching, of course people come forward, they need to be prayed for. And there is this elderly sister who also came forward. As I was trying to lay my hands on her, as I touched her, well, she was shaking. The presence of God was on her. And she could no longer stand. So she fell to the ground. So thankfully, my hand was like that, and I let her down like that. She was all filled by this touch. In a moment, I seemed to admire that, because I've had an experience like that, and you know, it's an experience you always want to say, I wish I can experience that again. But God doesn't give his experiences to entertain you. So in a moment of a thought, you know, I went like thinking, well, I wish I could feel it. Now, you need to be careful with your mind when you're in the presence of God, because the mind is so porous. You need to watch the thoughts which are in there, because they can distract you from the presence of God. So in a moment, that thought just rushed through my mind to say, oh, I wish I could feel it. The feeling in the presence of God is wonderful. But if you're not careful, the devil can twist your mind around to think, the presence of God is with me when I feel it. The presence of God is not a feeling. Today it can touch you, you can feel, but it doesn't mean you have to feel like that another day. It doesn't mean that becomes the evidence of the presence of God with you. You need to walk in faith and believe it. Now, you know what happened? As that thought rushed through my mind, one person spoke in tongues. And then, Brother Stroman, after he interpreted, he added some words where he said, remember, it's not a feeling. Don't look for a feeling. Hey, that is what was in my mind right at that moment. He says, it's not a feeling. Just know God is here. I said, oh, okay. I was thankful to the Lord. Meaning God knows what goes in on in our thoughts, right?
Amen.
Now, the following day, there is this Indian brother, and he had his mother. They also attended the meetings from, what's this country? Sweden. So his mother has been having back problems and feeling dizzy. And so some sisters were trying to advise her on what to do and all that. And so they were saying, no, we need to pray for her. But she's actually a Catholic, you know. And, you know, it's that kind of a thing. You invite someone to be there in the meetings. You understand that? Elderly woman. And from the time she came, we were told about the problems she's having with her back, and people were advising her this other day. She says, you know, I'm feeling pain and all that. And this particular day, she came to me with an envelope. In the envelope was $100, you know, $100 bill note. And she gave it to me. She says, you know, pray for me, pray for my children, God to bless them. But in my heart, I didn't feel peace. I thought, no, I'm not supposed to take her offering, you know. Especially that, you know, she's just a Catholic. I wouldn't want to misrepresent something to her for her to think it's because of her offering why I need to pray. So I utilized the time when her son came. And when we sat down, I brought the envelope. I said, look here, you need this money, you know, and you don't need to give this, you know. God will still answer you without giving this envelope. So I was trying to give them back this envelope. At that moment, at once they refused. They said, no. I'm giving from my heart. You know, I'm just giving it to you. It's my present and all that. And the son also said, no, please. You take it. It's from our hearts. We just thought of giving you this. I said, okay. I didn't want to, you know, if someone has done something from their heart, you honor that, right? So I said, okay, we shall pray. Let us believe. I spoke a few words of encouragement. And she was talking about praying for her, you know, because of these things. But her request really was for her children, not really for the problem she was having. But then I felt led to lay my hands on her. And we prayed, asking for the Lord's merciful hand to be upon her. Now, you know what happened next? This is not someone who is religious or who is a fanatic. She's just an elderly woman. And after prayer, now, here's where I'm mixed up. Did she testify the time I prayed for her? It was on the following day.
She testified the time she came to
say bye. Uh-huh, yeah. So when I prayed for her, she felt good. But the time she was leaving, that is when she came, when she wanted to say bye. The time she was leaving, when, you know, the meetings were ending and she came to the place where we were sleeping, our bedroom. So she came to tell us what had happened when we had prayed for her. So she said the moment she was touched, she felt heat go through her body. And then she said from that moment on, she felt very light, you know, like a huge burden has been lifted off you. And so, you know, she was excited. She says, I feel very light and the pain has stopped.
Amen.
Now, you see, the reason why I'm sharing this is because of the message I want to minister to you. I'm sharing a message, Trees of Righteousness. And this part of the thought, I want you to get it very right, because it's very important. It can affect so many things in your life. God is not a feeling. You understand that? The experience she had is not because, oh, Brother Pete is gifted. Oh, because people make very funny things out of these things. Where a preacher begins to portray himself like, you know, he's gifted. When what he touches, you know, things happen. Never be mistaken. What healed her was her faith. It had nothing to do with me. If there was another servant of God who was there, the same thing could have happened. But her faith. You understand that? Now, the thing is, when I was praying for her, did I feel anything? I didn't feel anything. But I prayed from my heart. I said, Lord, may you please help her. May you touch her. And with her faith, believing, you know, she had given that little offering. When someone does that, well, they have a certain regard for you, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't do it, isn't it? Now, her faith, her respect,
for the word of God. I believe God saw that. You know, and she says, oh, I felt a strange heat come through my body and then my pain just went. My prayer is that that thing may stay in her. It's one thing to receive healing. It's one thing to receive the power of God. It's quite another to let this power stay in you. It will very much depend on your attitude and how your life is. Praise the Lord. And so now, the thing is, we need to watch our thoughts. Now, do you know that as I'm ministering like this, one person can walk out of this place blessed, changed, and something amazing can happen. Another person can walk out as dry as a stone is. You know what makes the difference? What you hear and how you hear. The things you receive, how do you value them? If you value something, you will pay attention to it. You will hold to it. I want us to read Mark 4, verse 24 to 25. You don't have to stand. I want it read in NIV, Brother Nzima. I don't know if you have it. If you don't, I can read it from here. I want to read Mark 4, verse 24. We can read it first in King James. But I want you to hear how it's written in NIV. In NIV, it really brings out the thought I want to share. Mark 4, 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, let me read it in NIV, and you immediately get the thought we're trying to say. Do you have it? Do you have NIV, brother?
Look on this one. See?
Looks like the network isn't
okay.
So good.
Okay, I think I can easily get it here. It's already there.
Thank you. So Mark 4 verse 24 to 25. Listen carefully. Mark 4 verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Pay attention to those words. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued. With the measure you use, when you hear something, there are certain things you use out of what you've heard. Other things, they'll fall away into forgetfulness. The thing which will bear forth fruit are the things you are using out of what you've heard. And that is why it is important, don't just listen to a sermon once. Play it again. Listen to it so that you fully utilize every portion of that sermon. Because what makes a difference in your life are the things you utilize out of what you've heard. Did you hear that? I hope you get that. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So what you've heard, some things you're going to forget. Some things you remember something. The thing which will impact you in your life, the thing which will produce fruit
is the thing you are utilizing and using from what you've heard? Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And that is how important hearing is. Let me narrate an experience which happened in June 1955 in Brother Branham's ministry. Profoundly important. Let me read it from Jorgensen's book. This is on page 199. In 1955, Brother Branham went to Switzerland. And something happened in Switzerland as he was preaching. Let me read it to you. Here is what he says. As Brother Branham was preaching, he says, "Now let us be reverent and take the right attitude towards the Lord Jesus. Your attitude towards any divine gift will determine what result you get from it." You know, that is scripture. When Jesus prays for someone, he says, "Your faith has made you well." Amen. Correct?
Amen.
Yeah. That woman with an issue of blood, "Your faith has made you well." The expectation you have, God sees that. If someone comes with an attitude of, "Yeah, tiendeko ku church, tuone visa chiteka," exactly, you go out empty-handed. But if your heart has the right attitude, you receive according to your attitude.
Amen.
So the prophet says your attitude towards any divine gift. So if someone is gifted, I don't care how powerful their gift is, even if it is the Lord Jesus, our Lord and our King, if you don't have faith in him, believe me, you get nothing.
Amen.
Yes. Your attitude towards any divine gift will determine what result you get from it. The sick woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment felt his virtue, but the soldier who blindfolded him and struck him, saying, "If you're a prophet, tell us who hit you," that soldier didn't feel anything. Then the prophet says, it all depends on what attitude you approach him with. Very important. It depends with what attitude you approach him with. Now, look. The time this crusade was happening, when Brother Branham was in Switzerland, the time he arrived in Switzerland, Billy Graham had just ended his crusade. Now, in Switzerland, people didn't like Billy Graham, they didn't like William Branham. And the reason is, when you read the history of the Reformation, in Switzerland, people believed in this theologian called Zwingli. And the theology of Zwingli, it doesn't uphold Jesus the way you and I uphold him, to say he was born by the virgin birth. No. The doctrine states Jesus had humanity in him coming from Joseph, his father. So he's not really the manifestation of God in flesh the way you and I would believe it, to say he was born by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God was in him without measure and all those things. Now, Billy Graham, when he went to Switzerland, he made a statement which made a lot of these people get angry. You know, he says, "Jesus Christ is the revelation of God Almighty in flesh." And that didn't go very well with the people. So the next day, newspapers, they attacked Billy Graham. They made fun of how his hair was, says it had many webs. They made fun of the strong perfume he wears. They wrote all the negative things about him. And now, you know, Billy Graham is one of the greatest theologians, evangelists, who's ever lived on American soil. And now, Brother Branham was a prophet. He came from a humble background. He didn't even know how to speak English correctly. But he had a divine gift, right? And now, Brother Branham said to himself, if they say this on Billy Graham, who is a very educated man, how will my crusade be? What will they write in the newspapers? And when his crusade started, they hired a stadium. Brother Branham hired a stadium. And people poured out into that stadium, you know, to listen to this American evangelist. Now, this is what happened. Let me just read this part. So now, as he is praying for a woman, on the crusade has started, and Brother Branham is praying for this woman. He says, now here stands a young woman. I've never seen her before in my life. We live thousands of miles apart, but God knows all about her. This is just like the time when Jesus stopped by a well. So he's explaining to the people about this gift of visions. And Bill talked briefly with the young woman, and then he saw her. He was able to see she had tonsils. Then he discerned another person who had cancer. You know how his gift used to operate. Mm. And according to that report, many visions came and miracles followed. That was the first crusade. The journalists took up the stories. They wrote negative things. They said, maybe this man is just using mental telepathy. Maybe this is not genuine. And a lot of people read the newspaper stories and all that. The next morning, articles in Zurich newspapers criticized Billy Branham worse than they criticized Billy Graham. Mm. Now, please follow this. There's something important I want to bring to your attention. I want you to see how what you allow in your head, in your mind, can affect what you receive from God. Mm. And that is why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Not just how you hear, but you need to be careful what you hear. Yes, you may want to analyze things, but still put a guard on your mind. Certain things, once you know, they are false and all that, they are not worth it to give them attention. Mm. Okay? The next morning, articles in Zurich's newspapers criticized Billy Branham worse than they criticized Billy Graham. The Reformed churches called him a fraud and a quack, questioning his motives. This harsh criticism didn't reduce the size of that night's crowd, which approached the stadium's maximum capacity of 20,000. So although there were negative stories in the newspapers, because you need to know, this country was very much dominated by the Reformed Church, which didn't believe in these things William Branham was doing, and they reported so hard against him. But instead of the crowds reducing, more people said, let's go and sit. You get the point? Mm-hmm. However, that's not the end of the story. Because when those people walked in that stadium, they didn't walk in with an attitude of, let me go, God help me. They said, let me go see what I read in the newspaper. Mm. That in itself is not good. So now, the story says, the stadium was filling to maximum capacity of 20,000. When Brother Branham was ready to pray for the sick and needy, he struggled under the weight of their doubts. You know, when you are a preacher who is sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, you are able to discern that there is a spirit of unbelief here. Amen. And now, Brother Branham was struggling because he says he could feel the weight of unbelief. On the platform where he could focus on one person at a time, his gift worked easily, but it wasn't moving out among the audience like it should. That hindered his entire campaign because the purpose of his discernment was to raise the faith of people so that anyone who needed healing could receive it from Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then that night, when the first person in the prayer line stood before him, Brother Bram said, the man is beginning to move from me, which meant he was watching the man shrink into a vision. Mm-hmm. He has cancer, which started in his side and has now gone into his liver. Unless God heals him, he will soon die. Snapping out of the vision, Bill said to his audience, now there is nothing you can hide. That voice speaking a moment ago wasn't me. That voice speaking a moment ago wasn't me, your brother. It was Jesus Christ using my voice. What will happen? Now, listen to this. After Brother Branham discerned this person, he says, you have cancer, you have this, and everything was accurate. Then listen to what he says. He said, what will happen next depends on this man's approach. Yeah. He says, I've told him what is wrong with him. The vision has told me what is wrong with him. But what will happen next, whether you'll be healed or not healed, it depends on his attitude. Are you seeing how your attitude is important? Amen. What he thinks about it, that will determine what he receives. Mm-hmm. So you see, a vision can even be given. That doesn't mean God has answered your prayer. It's your mental attitude. What do you think about it? That's what will determine what will happen to you. The third person in line was a woman. Bill said, I know nothing about this lady. The more I talk to her, the more the Lord Jesus will reveal to me through a vision. And then he says, I see you being examined by a doctor who says you need to have your bladder removed. You don't want this operation, and that's why you are here tonight. Mm-hmm. I see you in a room praying for this opportunity. That is true. Your faith has saved you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be well. So that woman was supposed to go for an operation, but she cried to God. She says, I don't want to go there. Instead of going there, I'll go to the Branham Crusade. Now, that should let you know, the way Brother Branham used to see visions, it was just not on any person. It's for people who are the need. They walked in a meeting saying, Lord, I'm coming here, I need help.
Yeah.
Have him speak something about my life. In other words, there was a certain attitude in a person. And when Brother Branham is there seeing the visions, it wasn't just on any random person. Why? Different people have different attitudes, things going on in their minds. It was only to those people who even prayed before they were leaving to say, I'm going there to be helped. Amen. And when God saw that, he responded to that. Amen. Now, as Brother Branham was doing these things, a lot of these people in the audience were unbelievers. They just had to say, hey, to Oneko, we see what is happening. And now he says, as these visions were happening, some people had an attitude as though they were in a football stadium. So, Bill could feel waves of doubt coming from all over the stadium. Many people seemed to have the same attitude they would have at soccer game. And then this is what Brother Branham told the people. Please, people, don't get up and move around. Now, you know, this is important, church. And sorry, I'm speaking at a moment when sister just walked out. I'm not talking about her. We're talking about irreverence. Where the power of God is moving, people can chat, people can talk to each other, children can be running up and down. You don't do that in church. Okay? He says, please people, don't get up and move around. It's very irreverent. You are disturbing the spirit. Can we say those words? You are disturbing the spirit. Say it again. You are disturbing the spirit. Meaning the spirit has a certain nature. For him to flow, for him to operate, there is a way we need to behave in the house of God. You understand that? You don't just allow someone to start whispering something into your ear. No, there is a disciplined way of presenting ourselves before him. Brother Branham could sense it and he said, you are disturbing the spirit. Do you know Brother Branham never allowed flashing pictures when he's designing people? When he's designing people, he didn't allow that. He says, when you flash that light, it used to disturb him when he's seeing a vision. This is something I need to tell you. I've never mentioned it in the fellowship. When you are all praising and worshiping God and everyone is enjoying the Spirit of God, don't move around with the phone to take pictures. Because that is an intimate moment with the Lord. Everyone needs to concentrate on what they're doing.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
Now, you are disturbing the spirit. Now, listen. Then he designed more problems of people and all that. And then, pointing to a section of seats, you know, there was a certain portion in the audience. He looked at that section of people because there was this pillar of fire. He said, what about you along there? There's a group of people who are in a certain corner. This is about a crowd of 20,000 people. He sees this pillar of fire. It's moving over the audience. Then it moved over a certain audience. Now listen, he tells them, what about you along there? Do you believe with all your heart? This is mysterious to you because you've never been taught the supernatural. He could see that they were wondering what was going on. And he tells them, I know you are wondering what is going on because you've never been taught about the supernatural. You don't understand it. That same light that is anointing me has swayed over that part of the audience 3 times since I've been standing here. And you people won't move to it. Right now, every one of you should be on your feet healed. He is here. You just have to accept it. Now, you know, this is mind-blowing. Brother Branham says, this light which has been moving over the audience, it's been coming to that corner there. It came, it left. It came second time, it left. Third time, he says, it is coming there, waiting to bless, to do a miracle. But none of you are responding to it. None of you are saying, oh Lord, touch me. Lord, let him prophesy something about me. And because there is no demand, the spirit can't do anything. He says, the light has been coming 3 times and none of you can move to it. He says, right now, all of you who are sick there, you were supposed to be healed, but there is no hunger in you. There is no demand in you. And then, nothing is happening. Do you know that is scriptural? Let's read Matthew 13, verse 53. Brother Branham can tell us his experiences, but we bring all his experiences to the judgment of God's word. Now, let's see what the word of God says about such things. Matthew 13, verse 53. You see, it happened in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is the greatest. Do we say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is the greatest of all. Amen?
Amen.
He's a healer. Amen?
Amen?
He can do any miracle. Amen?
Amen.
But he won't do anything until you have the right attitude. Until you have the right mindset.
Amen.
Yeah. Matthew 13 verse 53. Let me read it. Matthew 13 verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, when he was come where?
Into his own country.
Into another person's country?
No, his own.
Where? Into his own country. These are people who saw him grow up. These are people who saw him do his carpentry work. Jesus is coming back from a missionary trip. Where he went, there were miracles. Where he went, there were blessings of God. Where he went, things were happening. But now he comes where? To his own. Let's see what happened. He told them in the synagogue, in so much that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Did that thought? Now, I want you to observe what is going on in their minds. Because what goes on in your mind determines what you receive from God. So, they're thinking, they're reasoning. This man, where is he getting this teaching? Where is he getting this power in teaching? Now, listen to this. They were caught up in a problem. Verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? These are children of Mary. Because Mary had other children after Jesus. We know his sisters. We know the family. Whence then are this man all these things? And they were offended in him. Can I ask you? What offended them? Did they appreciate his preaching? Yes, they did. Did they appreciate, say, hey, where did he get such power when teaching and all that? We know his mother, we know his brothers, and then the Bible says they were offended. My question is, what offended them? You know what offended them? Familiarity.
Wow. Amen.
Familiarity is what offended them. You know, sometimes when someone from afar comes to speak to you, you can attach respect and weight to his words, right?
Yes.
Or maybe I could say, my brother, you need to be prayerful. You need to change your ways. You say, because it's from outside, you really attach weight to that. But when it is someone I know, someone close, that may offend me because of familiarity. Say, I know this person. Why should he speak to me like that, right? That's what offended them. When they started hearing, they were getting amused. I think this is a true ministry. I think, then someone says, but we know his mother. You see the foolishness of the flesh. They started weighing his words based on how familiar they were with him. And that offended them. Very terrible. And they were offended in him. But now, listen to what Jesus says. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. Is that true? And in his own house. Verse 58, shall we all read? And he did not many mighty works there because of their
unbelief.
He did not do mighty works because of their the way it happened to Branham, that's what happened to Jesus Christ. They were questioning him. We know him. How do you prevent the blessings of God simply because you know someone closely? May that never happen to any of us.
Amen.
When we're in the presence of God, we leave everything outside. We are in the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
That means whenever you are in the presence of God, be careful of what goes on in your mind.
Amen.
Don't doubt His word. Believe it.
Amen.
When you are praying, forget about the environment. You say, it is me and God. Yeah, it is me and God. Kunja mungachoke, maybe kuposha na kuseka na wanzima and all that. When you come in here, you don't see him as brother Nzima. Don't see him as brother Kashara. You say, we are all fulfilling our duties and our roles. Fulfilling the work God has given us. Don't say, tidipaja paka skuru. Skashkuru manje. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ.
Amen.
Don't be familiar with God.
Amen.
When you enter your bedroom, don't say, naenda manje ku bedroom kwanga. And No. The moment you kneel down and you are speaking to God, don't be familiar with the place where you are. If you are praying with your wife or your brother or your children, don't look at them or, these are my children. Know that we are presenting ourselves before God as sons and daughters of God. When you have the right mental attitude, then God will bless you.
Amen.
You walk out of this place receiving something highly. Because right now, we're not seated in layer school.
Yeah.
No, we're not a layer school. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Now, speaking about that dream I had in 2021, I want to tell you one thing. You are a tree. Mm-hmm. Tell your neighbor you are a tree.
You are a tree.
You are a tree.
Tell them you are a good tree.
You are a good tree.
But it shouldn't end there. You can be a good tree, but yet you are not producing the fruit you are supposed to produce. You know what can cause that? Lack of water.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of water. You know, the message we received is very rich.
Amen.
The word of God. It's very rich. Panoka place kaone kako waya waya. When I have my church buildings, vikulu and all that. But believe me, you, if they had even a quarter of what I'm speaking, it could be something they've never heard before.
Amen.
But the problem is, something you always have, the word which God has given us, you can be caught up in a familiarity trap, and you can hinder blessings from your life.
Amen.
Yes. You can hinder blessings from your life because you are familiar. Tajobelela, tirimuimbira. Until people can commit fornication and adultery, but tulimuimbira. Until we can come at any time at church, tulimuimbira, we are people of the truth. We don't honor God in any way and all that. Let's be careful.
Amen.
There are places people don't have this word which you have received.
Amen.
May God help us to give us much water.
Amen.
Now let us read Isaiah 61 verse 3 to 4. I want to show you what kind of a tree you are.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to show you what kind of a tree you are. Isaiah 61, verse 3. When I was young, I used to be very sensitive to what people think about me. Even when I want to do something right, I'll be so concerned about what opinions people have about me, my looks, and all that. But you know what? There's one thing which matters to me. What does God think about me and what I'm doing right now? So when I speak something and it offends anyone, as long as I've spoken it is right, whether it is here, whether it's in another place, I want to be faithful to this.
Amen.
I want to walk out of this place to say, I have done what the Lord sent me to do.
Amen.
When we do that, God will bless us abundantly.
Amen.
When you are here, know you are a tree which was planted, not by any farmer in Zambia, but by God.
Amen.
Rejoice and be happy in that.
Amen.
Let no one talk you down in that. You are a tree, not planted by man. Planted by God Himself.
Amen.
Things may not be working right. Maybe in your personal life. Maybe at home. Forget about that. You are seated in the heavenly places of Christ. The fact you are here, God thinks of you highly.
Amen.
If you can persist and endure, greater things are coming.
Amen.
Okay? Isaiah 61, verse 3 to 4. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Do you know that's a contradiction? Do you know that's a contradiction?
Yes.
It's a paradox. Because in Bible times, when you have a funeral or something has happened, you took ashes and poured them on yourself.
so that you look ugly, unworthy, to show you are going through trouble. So they used to take ashes, pour it on themselves, and no one looks good in that. You look ugly. It was a show of humility before God. But here God says, I'll do what? I'll give unto them beauty for ashes. Where there are ashes, where there should be ugliness, I'll bring forth beauty. A contradiction. But the power of God can do it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at another paradox. The oil of joy for mourning. Do you know when someone was fasting, they won't put oil on themselves?
Yes, yes.
Because when you are fasting, it was a sign of consecrating yourself, punishing your body, so to speak. You won't pour oil on yourself. But here is a contradiction, a paradox. He says, the oil of joy for mourning. People are supposed to be mourning, I'll pour oil for them, and suddenly they'll start rejoicing. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
As I'm speaking this, believe it and receive it in your heart.
Amen.
And God will help you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are times why you feel heavy because of terrible things which have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe certain things people have done to you. And it brings a certain heaviness. But you know what? God says, garment of praise. Instead of feeling heavy, God will clothe you with. Your heart will feel like praising Him and rejoicing.
Amen.
That's not acting. It is God doing His work in
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Why? Why will God do all these things? Why will God do all these things? That, or so that, let us read those words together, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. In other words, it won't be your power.
Amen.
God will do all these contradictions or paradoxes so that you might be called trees of righteousness. Let me tell you something about a tree for us to appreciate this. You know, a tree, there is no work it does for it to be what it is. Did you know that?
Amen.
When you plant a tree, what makes its fruit sweet? Is it because it works out?
Mm-hmm.
God already put that in it. When there is water, it will simply manifest what God put in it. Why? It is the planting of the Lord. It is the work of God.
Amen.
Are we together, saints?
Amen.
Trees of righteousness. How do we do right? How do we do right things? It has to be the planting of the Lord. If it's God who has not planted, people will be working very hard. People will be trying to produce fruit using their hands and their works. But fruit won't come. But where God is, it can be five people. But when His presence is there, you feel it in your soul. You say, God spoke to me today.
Amen.
That's what I desire. That is what I want.
Amen.
The planting of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 1 verse 1. May we be this tree of Psalm chapter 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here the word of God tells you, if you are blessed, if you are a tree of righteousness, you won't be walking in bad company.
Hmm.
The people you want to be with are people who pray. If you are here, yet you know there is a hidden side of your life. With a girlfriend, a boyfriend, it's not men you are lying to.
Amen.
You're bringing judgment on yourself.
Amen.
What I need is not a big church of 100 or 200 people, if you can have 5 people who truly love God, they are hungry. Mm-hmm. They love His word. Mm-hmm. That church is enough. Mm-hmm. Than having a bunch of people wakaimba kushotomfika kuti vaimba vantu. As you get closer, uyu aliko na boyfriend. Uyu aliko na tuma messages per phone. That's rubbish. That's foolishness. It means you are gathered as a church, but muzinama. I don't want such a thing. Because we are on a mission and our journey is heaven.
Amen.
We want to be in the presence where our Lord is. Where the Lord is, there can't be filth. There has to be sincerity. There has to be honesty. The way I am when I'm in Lusaka, it should be the same person I am when I'm here.
Amen.
If my wife, maybe she went on holiday, maybe she goes to a very far country, maybe America, and I've remained home alone, maybe for the whole year, I should be faithful enough to my vow to her.
Amen.
Wherever she goes, she needs to have the confidence. That can only happen if people are truly convicted.
Amen.
In the house. Yes. What I want to tell you is, there's so much harm and damage which has happened, which has brought shame to this precious message God brought in this day. But be encouraged with one thing. It's not everything that is called anti-message that is anti-message. There are many big congregations. In them, it's anti-message. In terms of the manifestation of life, it's really nothing to it. It's just another garbage can. It's just a garbage can. You've gone to Lusaka, they say, maybe you have it here. They say, keep Zambia clean. They put a garbage can there. And people throw dirty things in there. People throw dirty things in there. And you know, there'll be that garbage can, and they'll say, Lusaka is a clean place, but there'll be viswaswa around it. Living a life which is different from what is professed. Let's not be like that.
Amen.
We should not be like that garbage can, which preaches a message to the people who are passing by that keep Lusaka clean, keep Lusaka clean, and yet it's the dirtiest thing. It receives all the dirt. Imagine, we tell people, live right, don't commit adultery, and yet I'm living that life. I'm a garbage can. On me it's written, keep the environment clean, but I'm a hoarder of all that is dirty. God is not glorified in that. Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. That's how a righteous tree is. His delight. Do you know what it means to have your delight? It means something you enjoy. Something you really love. You know that the thing you love, people don't tell you to do it. You do it because you love it. Because it's in you. It's part of your life. Is that right?
Amen.
Do people force you to eat in ship? If you go to lunch at Pikiwa, Ikachedwa, you even go to the kitchen, Ramake, Nanderanzala. Do you ever get up to say, Imani lunchtime, Ijani, Ijani?
No.
Ukanveranzala, Olo, Ndio Nikanunka, Uzafuza, Utichakuja, Zabwera Tao Punch.
That's right.
Yeah. Is that so?
Amen.
Why? It's in our nature to eat. Is that correct?
Amen.
A fish, can you force it to say, you know, you need to live in water. It knows when it stays out of water, it's dead. It lives in water because that's where its life is. You will never see a fish walking out in the forest at nine and funny circle. No. It is scared of going out there because it will know it will start gasping for life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the spirit which is in you, it will manifest by the things you are hungry for. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
What you hunger for shows what is in your heart. If every time you say, why can't we be having a midweek service? Although tukombo kalete, but at least mkat mwachan, tingaziku mana, since manje iliko na nyumba, tingaziku mana maybe from 18 to 19, at least ka Bible study mkat mwawik. It's because people have a spirit in them that hungers for that.
Mm-hmm.
But when people have to be pulled, bwerani, since over, Sisina lengede kukara mans.
Because you can never force a fish to be in water if it is a fish. If it's a fish, it is a fish which cries out, we need fellowship. We need the word of God. We need... But where you see someone gets very comfortable, I can get a message, today we want a fellowship. He says, oh, praise God. At least I'll go to that thing I wanted to do. Since I'm by. Maybe in Zomba, but in Mulamba, because in Vera Mulamba, Imangena Namatik. Imangena Namatik. You see this tree here? Verse 3. And he shall be like a righteous man. You'll be like, let us read verse 3 all together. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Do you want to be that tree?
Amen.
Let's be that tree. Remember the dream? There's much water needed.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God has that water because Jesus one day cried, O ye that are thirsty, come, drink of the fountain. Right? And it's written in Isaiah, oh, everyone that is thirsty, come. Come, drink, come, buy, without price. His water is overflowing. The thing is, do we have the right attitude? Do we see the need? Do we have a desire? If we have a desire, this room is very small.
Amen.
Yesterday I was telling my brothers, we need to look for a church plot. I trust the Lord will lead us.
Amen.
These brothers who've come here, they've said it's a ripe ground. Because Brother Sister Nzima, they weighed out the place doing evangelism and all that, and he was telling me, it's fertile ground. I said, okay. And in my heart I was thinking, this is fertile ground. There's something I learned one time. You know, I love flowers, and I bought these, what do you call it? Palm trees, the ones we have at home. Outside. Those are palm. Huh? Now, when we went to the place where you buy them, I noticed this other one, it stayed for many years. I don't know whether it's years or months, but yeah, yes, it was supposed to be big. You could tell by its root structure and the way it was looking, but it was in a pot. And then they told me, it's actually an odd tree. But I said, well, I know these trees, they grow big and huge. But why is this one, if you're saying it's been here for a long time, why is it looking like this? They said, no. A tree can have a big potential, or a plant, whatever plant, but when you limit it by the pot you've put it in, it's what will determine how far it will go. So if you don't want to grow very big, put it in a pot. Then you won't worry about how high or how big it can be. And I thought, well, if God is giving us his living and the faith here, then this place is small. It's not inviting.
Amen.
Chifuka mazishanga mkanongo kangono.
Amen.
And I don't believe in that. Right?
Amen.
If we've mapped out the place and say, okay, this looks like a place where we can have a crusade and can do evangelism activities,
Yes. Then
let's go and begin to have the faith to look for a convenient place.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm not just looking at a place to be rented, but a place of our own.
Amen. Amen.
Is that right? Yes.
Amen.
That's the faith I have.
Amen. Thank you.
That's the faith I have. So whatever you say, plot for sale and all that, bring it to me.
Amen.
I don't have deep pockets. I just have deep faith.
Amen.
These people I work with, they know that.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Yeah, because the deep calleth unto the deep. Where there's a need and where God has seen people are truly hungry,
Amen.
Then God will help us.
Amen.
The thing is, do you have the faith?
Amen.
That's like the house, you know, we're thinking, we need a house. I didn't know where the money would come from. But I said, we need a house. What kind of house, brother? And he says, let's pick anywhere that's in a fence. I said, no. I need a place where if I bring visitors and all that, it will be a nice, secure place.
Amen.
That's my faith. If you have faith, but that's not the faith I have. So I need a good place, which is easily accessible. And there it was. Brother Zima was calling me. He says, hey, there's something which has been found, but are the fans there? He says, I'll call you later. Because I was still writing a check of faith. If it concerns his work, we pray, we believe, and then God opens the way.
Amen. Amen.
So we kept believing. We said, Lord, we need to get a house. We need to get a house. We need to get a house. Mm. Brother Zima says, but you know, they may say 2 months in advance. How are we going to do about that? Hey, I didn't have anything in my account that time. I said, okay. Mm. But then a thought came in my mind. If something is the work of God, with all the things I've experienced in my little ministry, God always foots his bills.
Amen.
But God has never failed us. God has never failed us.
Amen.
Let's all have the same faith that God is going to do something great in Kapere.
Amen.
But for that to happen, you have to do your work as a believer, as an individual. The whole week, don't let a week pass. Think of someone. Think of a friend.
Amen.
And say, I'll invite them to church. I'll pray for them. Pick a day this week. Say, on this day, I'm going to pray and fast for that person.
Amen.
I'll invite them and I'll pray. Even before I invite them, I'll go and fast and fast. I'll pray. I'll look for a book, a message book to give them, to minister to them. Pray. Invite them. Tell them about what happened to you. Tell them how what God has done for you. If each one of us can take a name in prayer, you know what will start happening? God will see that we are having the right thoughts, we are having the right goals. It's about people receiving salvation. It's not about filling this place. It's about having compassion for a world which is dying. If all of us do that, we'll see gifts beginning to manifest in our midst. Gifts don't manifest to make us feel good. If a person comes in here and they really have a need, and you have been praying, say, Lord, help them. Lord, do something on them which will show them your grace and your power. You know what will happen? If someone has a gift in this place, God will reveal something about that person.
Yes.
Why you've been praying. Remember the testimony I gave about Brother Branham? That woman, she went to say, I don't want to have that operation, but I pray, Brother Branham, God will speak something to him. She prayed from home. When she found herself in the crusade, then Brother Branham says, I see a lady. I see this and that. God only supplies where there is demand. So if you start praying for someone and you say, Lord, do something. Reveal something as they are coming. Let the word cut into their heart. Do something. One of the days it will be a preaching and God will do something amazing. And that person you bring, that person you invite, a gift will manifest. And they'll give their lives to God. And here is the secret. People who come to the message because God has done something for them through the ministration of the word, or their eyes have been opened to the truth of God, those are the people who will stay and people who will add to the family of God.
Amen.
Don't force people to come by trying to tell them, you need to come. Muzazurisha church na viswaswa. If you just want to, people need to be born again. The power of God has to be revealed to them. Then you have a church.
Amen.
When you go to Chatama, to Ufunsa, listen to the testimonies of people who are in the congregations. This one says, me, I was like this, like that, then God visited me. Others have had spiritual experiences. Others says, the word really, when I heard it, it touched me and I threw away my cigarette. Everyone has an experience. Now, that's a church. It doesn't mean they're perfect people. They'll have their weaknesses. But look at what drew them into the house of God. It's the word of God, and that's a church.
Amen.
And I'm satisfied with that.
Amen.
But if people just go on a rampage to say, Mbaka izule, Mbaka mozazu jana viswaswa. You look like you have a church. You look into this one's life, he's still drinking. You look at into this one's life, he still has boyfriends and girlfriends and all that. Yeah, it looks like you have a church. When you come closer, but there is nothing. We don't want a church like that. We want a church of people who are consecrated. I'm not promising you a life of ease. challenges will be there. Some of you are already having family challenges and all that. Don't give up. Stand on the word of God.
Amen.
A day will come, you will stand here, not here, in a better place God will take us to. And you will testify.
Amen.
You said, you know, I prayed, I did this and that, and in place of sadness, you'll be smiling.
Amen.
I only request you of one thing. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. Keep pressing on. Don't fight it with your strength. Never do that. Amen. Surrender it to God and you say, Lord, you are the one who fight the battle for me.
Amen.
Yeah, you fight the battle for me. Amen. It's all right to look like a fool as long as you are walking close with God.
Amen.
Don't think about, what do people think about me? Mm-mm. What does God think about you? That is what should concern you.
Amen.
So don't say, how do people think about me? How does the family think about me? Don't bother about that. It's all right to look like a fool as long as you know your integrity.
Amen.
Yeah. And you pray and you yield to God and God will bless you.
Amen.
Shall we stand?
Hallelujah.
If you desire prayer, just raise your hand as I pray for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment and time you've given us. Lord, there's nothing good in ourselves except that which you perform in us. So we want to step out of the way and allow your precious spirit to do his mighty work in us. Your word has been preached, Lord. Forgive any expression, Lord, that wasn't supposed to be. But Lord, I tried to deliver it to the best I could and by your grace. And I believe that, Lord, the ears upon which this word has come, it is something for which, Lord, you foresaw that they were supposed to be here. But now, Lord, we desire fruit. We desire water. Lord, pour out your water upon us, that fruit and leaves may grow forth. No matter how dry a place is, as dry as it was in the time of Israel, when there was a famine, you still are the God who instructed Elijah that go by the brook and have prepared food for you. So no matter how dry Kapiri may be, we are your people, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us all the wrongs we have done which would hinder your presence. We open our hearts to you, Lord, as we say, have mercy upon us. Perform a mighty work in us that every Sunday we come, may we come to meet you, Lord. Not just to meet another human being, but to meet you. You are God who supplied all our needs. We were looking for a house on rent, and now, Lord, we have it.
Amen.
And now, Lord, we look for a place of worship.
Yes, Lord.
Where we believe we shall worship you with freedom and liberty and grace. And Lord, the way you've granted a place in Rufunza, the way you've granted a place in Chatama, I am believing you, Lord, that we shall have a place where different men of God shall come and minister to your people.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Let there be light in Kapiri. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let your light flourish.
Amen.
Let this be a testimony.
Yes.
That from work which was bent down to ashes, out of ashes, beauty shall come forth.
Yes, Lord.
Grant it, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Pour out your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And touch every soul.
In Jesus.
Break every yoke of the enemy.
Yes, Father.
Where there is mourning, let there be joy.
Yes, Lord.
Where there is crying, let there be rejoicing.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. You shall restore all the years the cankerworm
yes,
hath eaten.
Hallelujah.
The locust which has eaten.
Yes, Lord.
Let there be a restoration, Lord.
Yes.
Let there be a flourishing of fruit and abundance. Let there be an outpouring of rain spiritual in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That the way news has spread about Chatama, the way news has spread about Rufunza, let news spread about beauty that shall arise from the ashes in this place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the word.